Ron Van Dam. He doesn't need this gig. He's got all that money coming from that deposed Nigerian prince. Should be here any day now, and then he's kissing you suckers goodbye. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Sure, yeah, whatever.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. I'm not in the mood for you. I could be doing other things like eating a sandwich, so don't get on my nerves today. Hey, you know that sign, don't pee in my pool? I don't pee in your toilet. Do I have that right? All right. Don't get your panties in a bunch. Everything's fine. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. I do this as a matter of annoyance, not only to myself, but to other people. That's why I was put on the planet. Do you ever wonder why you were put on the planet? You know what the answer is? No reason. You're not the only one. You were put on the planet to make it full of people. That's why you're here. There's no other reason. No. Do you want to leave this earth in a better place than when you came in? No, not necessarily. Stop putting that kind of responsibility on my shoulders. Yeah, I'm here to make the world a better place. Oh, okay, you better get started, because it ain't working out. You're not really doing a good job, if that's your calling. I don't know what my calling is. It's like my cell phone doesn't work. You know, these conspiracy theories like cell phones, they start breaking after a few years, so you buy a new cell phone. Yeah, and that's not a conspiracy. That's business. Stop turning everything into a conspiracy. I have allergies today. They're out to get me. Doctors are out to give me allergies to make me go to the doctor more often, to make me pay more money and more health insurance costs. It's a conspiracy. My foot hurts today. It's a conspiracy. My body is trying to give me a hard time because I did something wrong, so now my body is getting back at me. Just shut up. Stop talking. You know, when you talk, you're just verbalizing all the shit that's going on in your head. Doesn't make you a better person. Doesn't make you worse. Just is. Society. Why do they call it that? What happened to society? Well, the big news, I don't want to talk about this. I said I don't want to talk about this, but I will for just a second, then I'll move on. As if I can get over it. What pisses me off almost more than anything, almost, not quite, but almost more than anything, is our people who are treated differently than other people. Yeah, it says in that Constitution or the Bible or in Gone with the Wind, one of those books, it says that all men are created equal. And that includes women too. That includes you. It should be all men and women are created equal, but of course back then, a little short-sighted in their impressions of things. But all men and women are created equal. Unless you have a lot of money. Yeah, it's true. Don't argue with me. You know it's true. If I was indicted for something, my ass would be not only in court, but probably in jail by now. If you're the president, or you were the president, or you have a lot of money, you can get out of that. You can hire lawyers that will find the smallest needle in a haystack to get you out of trouble. But unless you have that kind of money to afford these types of legal geniuses, your ass is going to be slapped big time. And that's equality, right? I'll just tell you with this newest Trump indictment number 17, probably, conspiracy to overthrow the government. Conspiracy, well, I don't know if that's the actual charge, but I mean, in general, that kind of makes sense. The biggest one that bothers me is this disregard for the country, yet total regard for your own power. Power's a nasty thing, man. Power corrupts more than anything. And money is power, so that fits right into the equation. I will just never forget that January 6th day when people attacked the Capitol violently and President Dick, I'm sorry, Donald, sat in the White House and wouldn't take any phone calls from his family, not from the Speaker of the House, not from his staff, not from anybody. He wouldn't answer the phone. That is a fact. And he sat there in the White House in a room, basically by himself, and watched TV and watched the riots and the violence unfold in his name with thousands and hundreds of thousands, whatever, people storming the Capitol. I don't know the number. It was a lot of people. All with Trump signs, hang Mike Pence, Trump calling for Pence to basically like have harm brought to him. But Trump wouldn't do it, wouldn't stop it, wouldn't make any kind of speech to the people, nothing. He just sat there and watched it on TV because they were trying to overthrow for him. That was the largest piece of shit kind of display I've ever seen in my life from a supposed president of the United States. A law and order president who totally disregarded everything and sat there with a willy to watch violence in his name, who just hours earlier was speaking to a crowd and asking them to go to the Capitol to overturn the results of the election that did not go his way, and then tried to organize fake electors in order to make himself president and overturn the results, calling states on the phone saying, just find me some votes. Look, Democrat, Republican, whatever, that's just disgusting. And I'll never forget it. I don't care what your politics are. That's scum. Okay, I said it. I'm not being political. I'm just telling you. You can't do that shit and get away with it here. We broke away to start this country from tyranny. And now you're embracing tyranny? What? What the fuck's wrong with you? Anyway, don't want to talk about it anymore. You can't do that. You can't do that kind of stuff. And you're responsible for stopping it. You can't take documents home with you to your two mansions. You can't do that and then refuse to give them back because you are the almighty and powerful Wizard of Oz. Again, I don't really care what your politics are. I do, but I don't in this case. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't undermine stuff like that. Okay. Enough, enough, enough. Well, the summer rolls on. Thank God I don't live in Texas or Arizona or one of those states where the temperature has been 114 degrees for over 10 days straight. You don't need a frying pan in those places. You just got to crack an egg on a sidewalk and a couple of strips of bacon and you can eat right off the street. It's that clean. It's that hot. Can't be good for you. And then you got the Canadian wildfires, which will not stop burning because there's too much of them. So now we're inhaling these particles in the air so small that they bypass every type of filtration system on your face. And you're breathing that in all summer. Enjoy yourself outside. Have a good time. But Ron, I can't really see the smoke, so it's okay. And we have barbecues in the backyard. Yeah, but you don't stick your face in the grill 24 hours a day. And the humidity throughout the country, except the upper Midwest, who get piled on during the winter, I guess upper Midwest could use a break weather-wise, so I guess that's okay. But the humidity for the rest of the country is absolutely ridiculous. And it's uncomfortable. But I can't do a thing with my hair. That's anyway, the humidity is killing the look of my hair. It's just all I care about. There's people who have respiratory problems. Oh my God, this can't be fun for you. I don't know. It's weird. You know, I still feel like we're all under quarantine. We're just able to get out more. I still feel like that. I mean, I know that I have a friend who just got COVID. Still battling with it, but not, you know, not in a heavy sense. It's not life threatening, really. If you're fairly healthy, just like a bad cold or something, but he got it. And I'm thinking, how did you get that? I thought that was done. Apparently it's not. It's just not as life threatening. I still feel like, it's just weird stuff. I miss COVID. It was scary. Knew a lot of people that died. It was pretty bad. And we all feared for our lives at first. Yeah, everybody was dying around us. It was bad. Don't go outside. Don't touch people. That was the part I liked. For about a year and a half, maybe two, we weren't allowed to be around other people. It was fantastic. If you could remove the danger of staying alive, or the danger of not staying alive, if you could remove that part of it, it was not a bad thing. I'm sorry, I can't see you right now. I can't come over. It's the COVID thing. I can't, we really... You know, I'll talk to you on a computer screen or something, but you can't touch me, and I don't want to be in the same room with you, and that way life is not so bad. The social aspects of the COVID were just very, very comfortable for me. I'm sorry, I can't see you. Sorry, I can't go there. Sorry, I can't do that. I'm kind of stuck in my home. Look, it's one thing to book a flight in an airport on an airline and then they cancel the flight and you're stuck in the airport and you got to sleep on the floor. You don't want to be stuck there. You don't want to be stuck in a place because your flight was canceled. You don't want that. You don't want to be stuck at your in-laws. That's even worse. But to be stuck in your home, what's your problem? What is your problem? No one expects you to go out of your home. So sit down and shut up and enjoy. You got TV, watch it. You got a bed, get some rest. You got alcohol in the cabinet. That was the most amazing to me. during the pandemic. Do you remember the pandemic? Do you remember when that was? It wasn't long ago. Remember the pandemic? Oh, yeah. Remember, there were essential businesses. The pharmacies and drugstores had to remain open. The supermarkets had to remain open. The hospitals had to remain open. Sometimes you couldn't even see your doctor. That wasn't even working. But the other essential business were the liquor stores. Don't freaking touch those things. I don't care what kind of pandemic you're in. Those suckers are staying open. So I say again, minus the death and destruction of the pandemic, what was your problem? It was like a 2-year vacation. The government was sending you checks so you didn't, so you could pay your bills. I mean, that was a problem. A lot of self-employed people, that was devastating financially. Investments and all that, and you know, the 401ks. I mean, you know, you couldn't get the product, and there was no toilet paper on the shelves. I mean, we had people wiping their ass with napkins, cloth napkins, like diaper services. It was pretty hairy and pretty freaky. But socially, it was a vacation. Sorry, we can't come over and visit. It's the COVID thing. Oh, that's too bad. Oh, well, maybe someday. Bye. You could actually have a business meeting on your computer through the Zoom thing. I had never heard of Zoom before that. You could have a business meeting, a high-powered business meeting on your computer screen and sit there and not wear pants. You're attending a high-powered business meeting without any pants on. That was the most bizarre part of it. You could walk around the whole day in your pajama pants and conduct business from your home. And the only way people could see you was from the waist up. And even that, it was not, you know, it was horrible, but not so. And it's not just this country that suffered. It was the entire world was suffering. And then we came up with this phrase that we used all the time. Well, we're all in the same boat. And of course, my response to that was, yeah, the Titanic. But we're all in the same boat because all men and women are created equal. COVID didn't choose certain people that happened to suck more than others. We were all possibly targets of COVID. It should have brought us together as a human race. But you know what? Politics got involved again because we're obsessed with this politics thing. And, you know, people start saying it's a conspiracy. There's no such thing as COVID. It's a conspiracy. There are people aren't dying. They just store news stories about that. They're making them up. Okay, look, why don't you go out on the lawn at 4 o'clock in the morning and wait for the spaceship to take you and the rest of your cult to another planet? Seriously, go. Pack a lunch. Go to the other planet. Take your cult with you. Seriously, do it. We couldn't even get along then. We could not even get along then. I don't want to bring this up, but you remember the attack on the United States with the World Trade Towers, and that was probably the most horrific experience that if we were alive, that we had gone through it all, or hopefully will ever. That was the worst. America actually being attacked the first time since Pearl Harbor. Not by a whole country, but a couple of schmucks. Taliban, all that kind of stuff. Al-Qaeda, let's call the whole thing off. That was awful. This country banded together like I've never seen it do in my generation. And as horrible as a situation as that actually was, and I was on the air doing radio at the time when the attack occurred. I remember it so distinctly. I mean, I was in the thick of that news-wise. But the country banded together afterwards. There wasn't a person. There were a couple of people with conspiracy theories. No, planes never hit the World Trade Tower. That never happened. Oh, my God. Are you crazy? That never happened? Some people think that, the concentration camps, World War II, that never happened. Killing of all the Jews, that never happened. Some people think that. They're not people. They're idiots. But I remember the reaction after the World Trade Tower thing. And this country bonded together like it was amazing. There were rainbows all over the place of society and humanity across the world, across the globe, getting together. I'll do anything to help you out. And then the COVID thing happened just a few years ago, and it's like, that's it. Became politically argumentative. Instead of banding together to keep us all alive with something that was going on, and we didn't know what to touch, what not to touch, we were all just frantic. Instead of that, bringing us together, it wasn't that at all. It was still dividing us apart. And who's responsible for that? Well, men, politics, power, money. And in the middle of that, I'm sorry, say his name, Donald Trump. Sorry, babe, you're in the middle. Did you create evil? No. Did you use it to stoke the fire? You bet your ass you did. And I hope that no money and no amount of power can make you different than everybody else. Okay. I have a guest coming up momentarily. Do I even have time for a guest? Yeah, we'll do a short guest. We'll do a guest that's no larger than 5 feet tall. But before we go to our guest, a short commercial break, if you can handle that.
Ladies, are you trying to find love online and having no luck? Have you tried apps and websites like Tinder and Match and Plenty of Fish and you still can't find that special guy? Then it's time to try Larry, the first dating app that helps beautiful single women find me, Larry. I developed the Larry app when I realized that most dating apps are just filled with men who have basically a much better chance at meeting someone than I do. And I thought, that's just not right. Why shouldn't a beautiful, single, desirable, hot, sexually active, and largely indiscriminate woman, preferably blonde and between, say, 5'5" and 5'10", with maybe, I don't know, a set of B cups, maybe a C, definitely not D or double D, that's just too much to be honest. Why shouldn't they, she, you, have an easy way to find love and happiness with me? Larry. Using the Larry app is easy. Just take a picture, a recent one, not like one you've been hanging on to for a couple of years or one that you cropped your ex out of, upload it and press the I'm ready to meet Larry button. Many women who use the Larry app get a response in as little as 10 seconds. Because at Larry, I am ready for love. Right now. Like, right now. Got the phone in my hand, looking at it right now. Got my Larry app open, and I am so ready. The Larry app, the best way for hot single women, or any women, really, to meet me. Larry, guaranteed. So ready.
Airbnb Superhost Katie Sevier is with us now. How you doing, Katie?
I'm doing well, thank you.
What part of the country are you in?
I am in Iowa.
Oh, wow, okay. we talk to Airbnb every once in a while, and there are some crazy places to stay, some wonderful places to stay. It's a whole concept that seems to be all of a sudden taking off. What's the success of Airbnb all of a sudden?
I think it's just just that it's accessible and easy and convenient for people. I think in our situation, we have a guest suite in our basement. Mm-hmm. We're very transparent that we live upstairs with our, you know, our kids, and we have a family. We have a lot of people who stay with us because they feel safe. Mm-hmm. They know that, you know, we've got a family upstairs. And so, yeah, for us, we bought a house in 2019. It had a mother-in-law suite in the basement, and we didn't really need the space at the time. And then the pandemic hit, it became a temporary classroom. And then we decided to list it on Airbnb, just to try it out, you know, for a couple months. But, we've been doing it for almost 2 years now.
Wow. Interesting. It certainly helps to have an entire suite on a different floor. Is there a separate kitchen and everything? Separate entrance?
Yep, separate entrance, its own kitchen, bathroom, bedroom. That really helps, yeah, because I think there's, you know, always that concern of privacy, of, you know, sharing your space with somebody else. So.
Yeah, and there's the other side of the extra income, and, you know, people need extra income these days, as they always probably do. And this was a good situation for you as well. But we're talking about U.S. educators. I assume that someone in your family was an educator.
Yes, myself and my husband are both in education.
Ah, okay. And so this has worked out for you as kind of a convenient, wonderful meeting people sideline.
It has, yeah. That's been kind of the added benefit of getting to meet some amazing people from all over the country. I really enjoyed being able to show people that Iowa isn't just a state to drive through to get to somewhere else, that we have some really beautiful and wonderful things here as well. So.
Is that a high percentage of your guests, people who are traveling through?
I would say, yeah, probably about 80 to 90% of our guests are usually on a road trip to somewhere else. But we do have people stay with us who have, you know, family in the area, or we're in a bigger city, so sometimes people are here for a concert or a work conference, those types of things. So.
Do you have any restrictions as far as who can stay in your home, or there's some understandings? How does that work?
Yeah, as a host, you can, you have a lot of freedom to kind of set your own rules. And so that's been really nice. Like I said, we're very transparent that we live upstairs and we have young kids, and you probably will hear us. So I want to make sure that it's a good fit for everybody. You know, I don't want someone to book our place thinking that it's going to be this, you know, super quiet private retreat. Right. And then they hear my kids running upstairs. But yeah, no, I mean, I can set my own rules in terms of we don't allow parties or events. You know, we can set some quiet hours for our guests so that we can make sure that we're getting our sleep too. So yeah, it's worked out really well.
Wow. Have you ever had a not to be a downer here, but have you ever had a circumstance where you said to the guests, look, we got a problem here. You got to stop this, or you got to leave? Anything like that ever happen?
No. Honestly, I would say 99% of our experiences have been incredibly positive. You know, the few situations where maybe something was miscommunicated or misunderstood, you know, I've just been able to send them a message and hopefully just come to some kind of compromise. So we haven't really had any issues.
Okay. How easy was it to get into this? I know you had the space, and that physically seems to be working out really great. But how did you actually get into terms of hosting this? What did you do?
Yeah, so I just went to Airbnb's website, airbnb.com/host. They have all sorts of great information there, lots of like FAQs, so you can kind of read through and get an idea of what you're, you know, getting yourself into, connect with other super hosts. In my personal experience, we had stayed at Airbnbs previously, so I kind of knew the concept and knew the, you know, the company. But there, I would say that their app is really easy to use. Everything has been very user-friendly and straightforward.
So. Wow. How far ahead do people usually book with you?
So you can control your calendar as a host. I have mine set that you can book out to 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so we usually have people, you know, especially when there's like events or, mm-hmm. You know, concerts, like I said,
yeah.
People will make sure that they've got a space. A lot of the times we have people just, you know, maybe they're driving through and they're tired and they might just book the same day.
Yeah.
And that works for us too.
Katie, do you check to see what the hotel prices are in the area, that kind of thing, to keep it competitive? I mean, how does that work?
I don't personally. I don't have time for that. But what Airbnb has, like a great, you know, like you can set your price if you want. Mm-hmm. You could also kind of set it. That's like there's a little bit of a range.
Yeah.
And with their algorithms, like if there's, you know, like I said, an event in town, a lot of people are searching for a place to stay. Airbnb can kind of increase your price. So It's kind of nice that it's just very hands-off. I don't have to worry about doing that. And so that's all kind of taken care of.
That's good. I mean, personally, I like what you're doing because you don't have to integrate with your guests. I know in some other Airbnbs, which isn't for me, they serve breakfast and all that kind of stuff. And I go, that's a little much. You can like do it any way you want, right?
Exactly. We let our guests know that we will give them privacy, that if we happen to see them, we'll say hi, but we're not going to intrude on their space.
Cool. Yeah, that is like a hotel. That's not bad. All right. So give me the website in case someone's interested in being a host. And certainly if you want to stay somewhere, that's available. Being a host is a little more information-driven. Where do they go for that?
Yeah, airbnb.com/host. And that's just going to be like the best place to get started.
Wonderful. Well, you found a successful thing that supplements the income, which everybody can use, and you got a pretty good setup for that. And I guess other people may have that similar situation. So continued success to you, Katie. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. I can't wait. But until that time arrives, make it a good day. I wish you peace.